You're listening to SBS News.
It has now been 6 years since Norfolk Island's government was abolished by Canberra due to financial troubles, and a public inquiry has begun into the recent suspension of the island's regional council. Locals have written to Prime Minister Scott Morrison requesting autonomy and appealed to the United Nations and Human Rights Council to intervene. Australia's government stands by its work in the external territory, pointing to a wide range of economic and infrastructure benefits. Locals describe culture as the soul of Norfolk Island. The language is centuries old and tied to a colourful history. But according to some on the tiny island, like Leah Honeywood, this unique identity is being eroded.
If I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 90% of our identity is gone.
Leah Honeywood's Norfolk lineage goes back 7 generations. Her ancestors were the Pitcairn Islanders, the descendants of the infamous Mutiny on the Bounty, who became the island's first permanent settlers in the mid-1800s. Miss Honeywood believes their legacy has been devastated in recent years.
They worked so hard and for so long to become a people and a race, and in 5 years somebody has come in and obliterated that. What's changed is the Australian government has come in here and put in and imposed their governments and their model rules and things like that that just doesn't apply to Norfolk.
Britain transferred Norfolk Island to Australia just before World War I. In 1979, the external territory was granted limited self-rule, but Australian influence again grew in the wake of the global financial crisis. A financially crippled Norfolk surrendered its self-government status for a bailout. Canberra abolished the Legislative Assembly and appointed its own administrator. Health and education services are currently managed by New South Wales in return for federal government funding, while Norfolk's 1,000 registered voters have been added to an electorate in the ACT. Former Finance Minister Ron Ward describes current operations as unsatisfying.
We have no say in anything that's being decided for us. Now, everything is decided for us by expat workers and the departmental staff based in Canberra.
Before Australia stepped in, a non-binding referendum saw two-thirds of islanders vote to keep self-rule. And years on, daily defiance persists. A tent embassy is now a permanent fixture outside the old government building, while a field of hands sits in the centre of town. Catherine McCoy says both serve as symbolic demands for self-determination.
It is my family. It is my ancestors. They built and paid for this place since 1856. And I want to see that continue. Some sort of right to self-determination, some sort of democracy.
Locals were angered further after Norfolk's Regional Council, their last local authority, was suspended in the new year due to concerns about financial management. Questions over council's viability are the centre of a public inquiry which began on Norfolk Island this week. But disillusioned islanders like Miss McCoy claim it's another example of democratic rights being denied.
It's definitely gone too far. We have now no voice. We have no elected representation.
Land taxes, which for centuries never existed on Norfolk, is one of the key grievances about Australian rule. 83-year-old Marlene Nobbs says she and other locals are furious.
Norfolk's always been acid rich, money poor.
They fear that they will lose their land because they can't afford to pay the rates.
Some, though, say life here is better now thanks to Australia. Cherise Clark has lived on Norfolk for 40 years.
I can't imagine how the island would have coped without being integrated into the tax system during COVID. So we now have a safety net for people.
Administrator Eric Hutchinson admits the transition could have been better managed, but says the decision was justified.
I'm the last person in the world that wants to see those intrinsic things that make Norfolk Island different to other parts of Australia change, if we don't have to change. But equally, there are things that this community, and I know for a fact, appreciate.
Nola Marino, the Assistant Minister for Regional Development and Territories, who represents Norfolk Island, reaffirmed that in a statement to SBS. She says The transition has given residents access to Medicare and the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme, the age pension, child support, infrastructure investment, and a wide range of other benefits. Residents have a strong representation in federal parliament, while electoral laws determine the population to be too small to have its own electorate. But for every person who points to reasons why Australian governance is working on Norfolk Island, there are others who dispute it. It makes it a deeply divisive issue in this otherwise tight-knit community. And those staunchly opposed to the status quo, including Elder Shane McCoy, say momentum for change is growing.
I can't say anything against Australia at all. We love Australia. But they've got to respect us as well.
On Norfolk Island, Omar Dehan, SBS News.